In a monocuski brona, she crotis a papa for it as pro, and a goshugirambos is a vanikin bronos is a fakrotis a paka. We see in dark areas God's light shining forth. We see God's spirit going to seemingly dark gray areas, shining his light. And in the days ahead, we see much more of his light in every city, all around the world. And we'll see God's spirit go from families to families. And we'll see men, both young, old, male, female, mothers, children, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, regardless of the age, getting stirred up in God's will and God's fire. Getting their hearts burning for the Lord. Taking the initiative to go out of their comfort zone to preach the message of the gospel. And the coming days, the light of God will flood the land much more than ever before. Much more than ever before. Do well to be sensitive, to pay attention to the kinds of humans you are preaching to. For you see, there is no restriction on the kind of human that God wants. God wants all men. God wants all men, no matter how young, no matter how old, no matter how rascally they look. Do well to pay more attention to the promptings of the Spirit. For in the coming days, I'm seeing a church that is not stereotyped with a type of people. I'm seeing a church that is having different kinds and types of people. Those who don't seem like churchgoers, but they are church people. They are Christ people. And we will step out of our comfort zone without any hesitation to get ourselves into the streets to ensure that we'll preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. And the coming days we will see men of all types and all kinds. Men of all types and all kinds coming into the light of his will. You know, what we will see is not just men coming in, but men coming in and also taking that light, going back to dark regions. Cross so pre and the frost pete so front of us in the trust so front the beshikan of us and then a crocus upon the kashka. Yes, going out with the mandate of the Lord, going out with so much boldness and audacity, going out with much more courage. Those who will be purpose driven, not pleasure driven. Those who will leave their comfort zone to ensure that the will of the Lord is done in the earth. And I believe and I see that you and I are in that number. I will take our bold step. I will take our bold steps with courage. I will leave our comfort zones. And we will experience and expect the new. For you see, God in the coming days is going to break forth in very strange ways. Yes. Ah, yes, I see. I see that. That's correct. Yeah. I see that. You see what I just saw right now? I just saw that in the beer parlor, right? I just saw God's light going there. And I saw one person walked into the place. And what happened was that everyone dropped their cups. Yes, it was a beer parlor. I just saw wines all around, bottles of wine around. I don't know if them poured it, began to pour it away, right? And they were saying, we're going to serve Jesus. You see, and they didn't do it just because of aesthetics. They did it because their hearts were touched by the light of God's Spirit. So in the coming days, you will do well not to hesitate to be the vessel that will go into dark regions. Regions that seems to be compromised. Regions that seem to be full of dark carnalities. Regions that seem to be full of the grip of the devil. We will go there and set men free from the bondage of the devil. And we'll see them come in their numbers. We'll see them come in their numbers. We'll see them come in their numbers. What are we seeing? We're seeing them marching as soldiers. Going back into darkness to light more hearts. Going back into darkness to light more hearts. Yeah, we're going to be seeing much more heartbeat in the coming days. And there's an expansion that is coming, okay? Listen to this carefully. There's an expansion that is coming. And in the coming days, we're going to experience a multiplication. Now, what that will lead to will be what some other people or folks will call revival. But you see, that revival is already ongoing. So what we are doing is just jumping into the pool, right? And align our hearts to be yielded to the Holy Ghost. For in the coming days, we're going to see a revival, as it were, of strange and different kinds of people. Yes, 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 yes. Where there will be no barrier. There will be no barrier. You see, one of the things that God is doing in our day is that you will see people who would have had interesting past coming right into God's will and running with the message, whereby their past will not deter them. Their past will not prevent them from staying in the will of the Father. Do well to hearken much more to the promises of the Spirit and speak to people. Thraspro, enterproske, vrata, sepronda, gashkinda, zabangaga, ekrata, sifropotapros, ekrata, shukron, tisapapa, kika, and the receiver. Yes, what that means is you will speak to people no matter how your logical mind thinks. You will speak to people using your spiritual mind. For you will see men the way God sees them. You will see men the way God sees them. You will see men the way God sees them. You will not have an eye of condemnation. Listen to me, you. Yeah, you will not have that eye of condemnation. Yeah, and I see as well, there are certain friends and colleagues around us that seem to have a very interesting, you know, path that they are on. Path that they've been on and they are presently on, and they seem to continue on that path. You know, you will reach out with so much boldness and authority and speak God's will and counsel to their hearts. For you see, in doing that, you are rescuing families. In doing that, you're rescuing generations, right? And you will see that by your little obedience, you will see many, 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 many men coming into the light of His will. For you know you are a man on a mission. Yes, you know you are a man on a mission. You are a man on a mission. You are a man on a mission. A man on a mission is one that has a vision. A one that has a vision, that has a focus, and has a courage, and has the courage and boldness. One who is very deliberate about the course that God has placed him on. And you will act like a man on a mission. In the coming days, no more excuses. Yes, yes, you put excuses behind you. For you see, a man of visions does not give excuses. For you see, the vision that God has placed on your heart, the call to go into the world, is something that has an eternal impact. You will do well not to give excuses. And the coming days, you will shine His light much more. You will shine His light much more than ever before. There's going to be a supernatural experience that you will have that will burn in you and by extension those you preach to. And in the coming days, you will see your light shining in dark areas. No, not as much your light, but His light. And that light shining, and many more men taking the touch of that light. And as soldiers marching back into the barracks, being trained in the local church, they're heading back into the streets, right? Using the, you know, weaponry of God's love. Using the gadgets and the equipment of God's love. Using the, you know, the gun that has the bullet well plated with His love and His salvation plan. Yes, you will see men. Yes, 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 yes. You see, one of the things you will see as well will be people in a collective colony. What I'm seeing is a collective set of people. Yeah, catching the light at once. You know, as it is with the tear gas, when it's placed in the room and everyone around gets contaminated, or everyone around falls under or is subjected to the influence of the tear gas, that's how we will throw the tear gas of God's love right in the midst of darkness. And you see, you will not really take out time to have the time for the one and the two and the three, one after the other. You will just see that peel is in the atmosphere. And what will happen will be everyone. And you see that happen in groups. I'm seeing us as a church breaking free from the ones and that one-on-one encounters, one and two encounters. We're going into groups. I'm seeing it much more groups, exploring groups. I know we will just come there like tear gas of God's love. And we allow their nurseries to just inhale and get what? They get intoxicated by His love. They get intoxicated by His will. Yes. And what will happen is there will be a supernatural quickening of the inside. And you will see men just like you marching right into deep darkness with the message of His love. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I'm a man on a mission. Say, I'm a man on a mission. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I believe I'm a part of that. I believe I'm a part of that. I believe I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that. Oh, glory to God. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Walk up to 3, 4, 5 people around you. Welcome them to church this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm a part of what God is doing in the city of Edinburgh. So I'm a part of what God is doing in the city of Edinburgh.
Can everyone hear me well? All right, let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who is here that had an encounter recently? While trying to preach to someone, you started sensing a little touch of violence. Who is that person here? You're preaching, you're trying to preach. It wasn't obvious, but you could just sense. Who is that person here? You're about to preach to someone. Right? Who are those people? Who were there? You, right? Both of you. Right? Come around. I'm just going to lay hands on you. I just saw it was just, it just looks a little, it wasn't too obvious, right? But you could tell that there was something around that. Yeah? Come around. Yeah? You could tell there was something around that. One of the things that seed was going to do or did or was planning to do was to put you in the defensive side more than offensive side, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, almost more. You're not thinking that the next time you go out, you want to be more defensive than offensive. But I pray and receive right now that every impact that has over you is nullified in the name of Jesus. Every impact that has over you is nullified right now in the name of Jesus. And you stay right at the center of his will. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Please go to your seats. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just saw that was just repelling. We're just repelling. Hallelujah. Praise God. I see the name Caleb. Caleb. Who has anything to do with that name? Caleb. Who's that person? Caleb. Caleb. And the one I'm talking about, okay. I'm seeing one actively somehow with a sense of service for God. Yeah? Fellowship lead. Right? So I'm seeing much more, is actually leading a group of people and having that influence over people in the service of God. You know, but what I'm saying is, you will take our time in the coming days to pray for him particularly, because the plan of the devil is to, and then something's going to happen to him. Around him, let me say that differently, right? And the goal of that is to discourage him, right? Do well to pray for strength for him, much more than ever before, right? And also try to reach out to him with the strength of God's love and God's will, right? Just try to be there for him, right? I could just see something just happening and just trying to create a discouragement. Who is here? Your siblings are fighting right now. They are fighting. They are quarreling. Who is that person? Your siblings had a fight recently. Was it you? Ah, interesting. Oh, okay. Is she the only one? That means she's the one. Eh, your siblings had a fight. On the phone. Okay. And is that the same thing for you too as well? Hallelujah. So it can be two people. Is that correct? Yeah. And I'm praying, I'm saying right now, that fight needs to be tackled at the root as soon as possible before it gets out of hands. Okay? So what I will say to you is that you just take our time and just pray for God's love and peace. And as much as you can mediate, please mediate. Please mediate as much as you can mediate. I just saw two siblings fighting. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. There's somebody here. Your manager is about to leave their work. Who is that person here? Or you don't know yet. Your manager is about to leave their job. Or left. Just left their job. Who's now managing you? Okay. But I'm seeing an opportunity opening up very soon that you need to ensure that you are in the right place doing the right thing. In the next 6 months, pay attention more to your, what do you call reviews at work? Appraisal. Whatever your appraisal will look like at the end of the year. In the next 6 months, pay attention to it very much. Very much. Very well. Yeah? Next 6 months. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we ask and receive today that your word is told with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this morning. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting that since we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. What series are we looking at? Man on a Mission. Matthew's Gospel 28, and look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. When I was saying the word there, power is the word authority. And it says, it's given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore, and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the what? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Let's just join it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Teaching them. God's palace, everybody together, 1, 2, 3, go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. No. So what do we see in that scripture? You know, Jesus would teach for 40 days after the resurrection in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Bible will say that he taught for 40 days back to back. Right? And the scripture now lets us see that what Matthew is writing here, as Jesus said in verse 18 to 20, is like a summative narrative or a summation, right? It's a summation of what happened in 40 days. So it means Jesus taught for 40 days. The conclusion of the teaching is go ye into the world. The conclusion of the teaching is go ye into the world. So he says go into the world and teach. Now the word there teach, we said over time, is a word that means to make disciples and to train disciples. Right? We said the word there teach is the Greek word machetio that means to raise disciples or to train disciples. So it means that God expects that we are to train disciples. I remember a few years ago, one of our members in church had their mom come around to church, you know, and when the mom had finished, so I was meeting with them afterwards and, you know, the mom now looked at me, I was like, and she now looked at the child and said, you didn't tell me that your church is a serious church. Right? And what was she referring to? She found that, or she realized that when she walked into church, that she found that everybody had their Bible, everybody had their writing material, they were reading their Bible, they were taking notes, right? I said, oh, you didn't know your church was a serious church. You remember a brother came to church a few weeks ago, remember that? Right? Who said, and I told you, he said that in over 60 years of being a Christian, that when he came to God's Palace, that was one of the few times that he had seen other people come to the local church as well with their Bible. In almost 60 years of being a Christian, right? You know, and it's just so interesting to see that in our generation, our world, it's very easy for people to relegate the importance, the basic things. Nowadays, people go to church. You know, some people go to church with their food, their lunch. Amen? Amen. If you are here, we're not talking about you. I do not know by the Spirit. Let's just look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah? But you see, you go to church with your lunch, but you don't go to church with your Bible. Are you not going to the church to be fed? So you want to be fed twice, right? You know, I mean, if you want to go to church with the lunch, that's okay. You know, if you're a pastor's kid, a PK, you realize that from a very tender age, you start learning how to stay in church for long. You know, now you have to learn to stay in church for long. Until daddy says it's time to go home, or mommy says it's time to go home, what happens? You are there. And that's where you learn counseling. Then also you learn patience. Are we together? Yeah, you know, I remember when we were younger, sometimes we know the people that talk long. We know the people that we know the people that their story is short, straight to the point. I went out yesterday, this is what they told me. What should I do? Simple. But you know those that say it all began in the year 1991. Yeah, so we already know how to time it. So once we see a specific set of people on the waiting queue, our heart just already knows we are not going early today, right? Yeah, and I remember one of the things my parents used to persuade us was yogurt, right? There was one yogurt we used to buy then, yeah, in front of when we were living in Abuja Game Village. Do you believe? Let me tell you what happened to us. We're so poor. Let me tell you what happened to us. You're laughing. Ah, God. Yeah, you know, if I look at my life and look at where I'm coming from, man, Kai. God, you thank God. Can you believe There's this guy that used to say, you know, how many of you know, mommy's laughing. How many of you know that bicycle that used to have yogurt? Fine, you go. Yes. So there was 13 naira one. There was Supreme. The one that you will cut into two. You and your siblings will share. Right. You will not believe that one day we wanted to buy yogurt. My mom packed her car. You know, that one is not car, it's motor. She packed her motor one side of the road. And we already called, as well, you know that kind of thing, the man is there, you are driving, come, follow me, and they'll be rushing to come and sell. The guy waited there. We now bend our, he didn't come, we now open the window and said, ah, come now, I want to buy ice cream. Guess what he said? I don't have small one. Say small one, no day today. Ha! That day I know poverty is of the devil. That day I know I must not be poor. Hey? How can they know your car with small yogurt? You know what that means? They know your car with 13 naira yogurt. Madam, 13 naira on no day today. Ha! I don't think we just covered our face and we went home. Ha! But you know, some things will teach you lessons in this life. You know, so we used to, use yogurt to step ourselves down. We used super yogurt, with supreme yogurt, cut into two. We lick. Then, you know, sometimes if they ask us to cut it, you know, if they ask us to cut it, you as the elder one, you have to push the scissors. Oh, I thought it was only me. You push the scissors small. Quickly, you already divided into two, so you are confused. If you put them beside themselves, this is like one third, and this is, you know. But you see, growing up generally, what I did for us was to make us get ready for the work of ministry and also to learn patience, right? Where you have people who are coming around and they are, you know, getting. So over time, one of the things that we've learned is that, you know, when we come together as a church, right, it is a training center. Now, the reason why you have different kinds of people with different issues is that different people are in different phases of their lives. Right, so I'm saying to you that you will have 2, 3, 4 disciples, and they are not all on the same level. It will be great for you as a discipler to know where to narrow down on certain things for certain people. Are we together? Right, so that was one of the things we learned while growing up. So the Bible says, go into the world and train all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He now says in verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe. We said the word there, observe, means to pay attention to something or to observe carefully or to deliberately attend to something. Right? To guard carefully, to intentionally concentrate on something. I'm just giving you different synonyms you can use. To intentionally concentrate, to intentionally avoid distractions. Right? You observe. That is why when we come to church, what are we coming with? We are coming with our Bibles. Because we are what? Trying to observe. You know, there are some times when the word is being taught. And when you open a scripture that you thought you know, you will see something different from what you've always known. Right? That is why you can't afford to assume that you know the scriptures. Right? You see, when God's word is taught, always learn the art and attitude of observing. Don't be a talker. Some of us are so good at finishing the message of the pastor before he finishes it. We are so good at concluding the stories and the examples of the pastors before he finishes. No, it's not biblical. It's not right. Right? So the Bible says that you should teaching them to observe word. That means you have to pay attention. Now, was Jesus a good teacher? Was Jesus a good teacher? Right? So what did Jesus expect his disciples to do when he was teaching? You observe. That means you pay attention. You know your heart and attitude of paying attention, right, is something that you must not joke with. You know, focus is so expensive. Right? Paying attention is very expensive. Keeping your focus is very expensive. It's very easy to get distracted, particularly in our world or the world that we find ourselves. Yeah, very easy to get distracted. Distracted. I was talking to a family that I see over the week, you know, and one of the things they were saying to me was around how televisions, you know, how when you're watching a screen or watching an event or watching something, basically, that almost every 6, 7, 8 seconds, something changes. The screen image changes, right? You know, and I never paid attention to it. But since that day, anything I see on the TV, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I realized that within 6 seconds, 10 seconds, you realize that the image that is being shown is changing. And the reason we're talking about that was how, you know, the attention span of our children and kids can, you know, seem not to focus on something for long because images are easily changing. You know, I just thought about that. And I'm like, that's actually the truth for even a lot of us as adults. Yeah, you can't keep your phone. Can't you find yourself doing something for 10 years, for 15 years? I saw a video of a man who has been a drummer of a church for 60 years. The same church, 60 years. You know what that means? It's not possible that he didn't offend him. And it's not possible that he did not offend others. But you see, learning to keep your focus in spite and despite is something that the devil is always after. How can you be a church drummer, the same church for 60 years? Now, I would always tell you the example of the woman at the well, right? Yeah, Jesus met her and said, go and call your husband. The woman said, oh, no, I don't have any husband. And Jesus said, yes, you said correctly. You don't have any husband. And the man you are even with right now, you've had five. The man you are with right now is not even your husband. Right, I told you about how we can even use that example for a lot of Christians. Yeah? If Jesus asks you, what church are you going to right now? Say, I used to listen to this church for praise and worship. I like these people's announcements. Then this man, he seems to have the word. And I know he always comes on the mic at 10:42. Right? Yeah? So Jesus can say to some believers today and say, that's correct. You don't have any local church. You've been to five different local churches. You've had five different pastors in the last 1 year. And the church you plan to go next Sunday, you are already planning to leave after the service. Right? That's the attitude that people have towards Christianity, particularly in our world today. Right? Every small thing. Now, am I saying that people don't get offended? People get offended now. You know, I always tell you, if I don't offend you and you don't offend me, it means we're not working close enough. If I don't step on your toe, can I step on his toe from here? No. I have to be very deliberately, wickedly. How? I have to throw armor. Yeah, but for me to step on your toes, it means that we're walking close enough. So the more we come close to ourselves, it means there is a possibility for us to step on our toes. So is stepping on toes part of Christian living? Yes, so it is. So it is part of Christian living. You know, happier are you if 5 years from here, 10 years from now, you said you've been in one local church for 5 years, one local church for 10 years, one local church for 20 years, right? You've been following the systematic theology presented to you in your local church. You've been following your pastor, been following your leadership, right? It's part of God's will on the earth. Yeah? Every time and any time in history that Paul is mentioned, there's a Timothy to him. Every time and any time that Paul is mentioned, there's a Titus to him. Are we together? Right? Yeah. So we need to ensure that focus we have regarding the things of God. Right? And, you know, sometimes and the way we approach our natural life also shows in how we approach the Christian faith. Yeah? You know, some people, you cannot stay in a job for 1 year. You can't stay in a job for 2 years. No, that's not a good trait. No company can satisfy you. It's not a good trait. It will one way or the other affect your focus in the things of God. Think about it. Imagine in 5 years, you've gone to 10 different companies. And the 10th one you are really in, you are still applying. Nobody's saying there is no more. But, you know, there's a way you can progressively stay in a place. I remember 2 years ago, thereabout, when I started working where I was working. You know, and people started telling me, oh, you have this, you can do that. In fact, I even had, let me not say what they say, I'm online. Right? So, eventually, I found out that, I had to tell myself, I'm like, I don't think I want to leave this place for the next 2 years. Right? I don't think I want to leave this place for the next 2 years. I think I want to be here for another 3-4 years. Right? And I told some of you here, right? You see, that's a mindset you need to. I'm not saying that it's always going to be the same for everybody. But I'm saying you can have that mindset even for the things of God. You can be very intentional to observe and watch what is happening, right? To ensure that you are not tossed around by every wind of doctrine and every, you know, imagination or whatever you can call it. So when we come to local church, what do we have in mind? This is a training center. Is that correct? Yeah? So can we say this is a school? The church? So we can call gospel as gospel as school. Because the church should be a school. Yeah? It's the way the church has watered down the importance of the church over the years. That is why you see we have what you call Bible school. The church was the Bible school in the book of Acts. Are we together? There was no, you know, let's have theology schools littered all around. No, the church was the Bible school. So the church should be our Bible school. So when we come to church, what do we come with? We come as though we are going to learn. You have your writing materials. You have your Bible with you. You are trying to listen. You are observing. When pastor says the Greek word for that is stereo, right? You don't just look at me and be chewing gum. Yeah? You know, the Hebrew word comes from the Latin word. You're saying, It is said so that we can learn. It is said so we can learn. I know it is easier to forget what you hear than what you write. Is that correct? It is easy, no matter how brilliant you are, right? If I teach you something today, for instance, right, and I bring two of you, let's say we say this is the smartest, in fact, the whole Europe said this is the smartest human being. Put the smartest human being in a room and bring yourself with a note and listen to me for 1 hour, right? You with a note, trying to teach back what I taught, we will do better than any brilliant human being in the world. You can't listen to someone for 1 hour and you can teach better. If they teach better than you after 1 hour, then it means you are not destined to, we are destined to reign in Jesus' name. Yeah. So you have that mindset of taking notes, writing things down, right? So we must be intentional about it. Now, if you look through scriptures, look at Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. And go all the way to verse 25. Luke 24, 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart. Luke 24, 25. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, if my emphasis is on verse 47. Let's go to 47. Verse 46. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be what? Should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem. Verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I set the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of what? Jerusalem, and you'll be endued with power from on high. So what was the instruction that Jesus gave them? To preach what? No, before tarrying, he gave an instruction what? That repentance and remission of sin should be preach. But before that, what should they do? They should tarry. And why were they tarrying? To be endued with power. So if they were to preach, that's the instruction, preach. Right? They were to preach, that's the instruction. In preaching, they were asked to wait before the preach. When they are now supposed to wait, they are supposed to receive something. So that thing they are receiving was for what? For preaching. All together. Yeah, imagine I say, please help me go downstairs and come and get something. Or go and get, hold on. If I say, help me go downstairs and help me go to his car and get a book. Right? And I say, wait until I give you the key. It means that the key you are waiting to get from me is to enable you to get that thing from the car. Yeah? So go into the world and preach the gospel. You are to wait until you be endued with power from on high. So what is the power from on high to do? It is to help you in preaching repentance and what? Remission of sin. So the Holy Spirit in you is fundamentally in you for something. To preach. The Holy Spirit in you is fundamentally for something. To preach. So God wants man to preach. And God now gives man the enablement to be able to preach. Which is the Spirit. That's the song we usually sing. Yeah? He gave us his very best. What is his very best? His very best is his Spirit. So God's Spirit is his best to enable us to fulfill. So if you look at Luke chapter 24 verse 47 again, what is the mission? To preach the repentance and what? Remission of sins. So how many people are to be in the number of those who preach? All believers. What will all the believers need to be able to do that? The power of the Spirit. Endued from an eye. Power endued from an eye, right? Yeah. So when you have it, and you don't use it to do what you are supposed to do, who are you like? Huh? So if I ask her to go and get something from his car, and I gave her the key, and she doesn't go. Disobedient. What other name can you call them? Rebellious. What other name can you call them? Rude. Okay, can I say you are rude? And that's, I like that. Let me stay there. Rude. So it means that as a believer, you know, now I can use anything to preach. As a believer, if you don't go out to preach the gospel, you are rude. Maybe I imagine who we are rude to God. Maybe that's the type of this teaching. Don't be rude. Yeah? Because the moment you've been given an instruction and you don't act accordingly, you are rude. You are seen as one who is disobedient, who is rebellious. So should a Christian be disobedient? No. Should a Christian be rebellious? No. Should a Christian be rude? No. Imagine how you feel when somebody is rude to you. Yeah? You are now rude to God. Your own is unique. Altogether, your own is unique. Right? So the Bible says that repentance, remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I set the promise of the Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. What happened? They now tarried. How many days did they tarry for? No. If we are saying this is the conclusion of 40 days teaching, then the day of Pentecost happened. So that means they tarried between 7 to 8 to 9 days. Yeah? Because Pentecost will be the 50th. Is that correct? Yeah? And out of 50 days after the resurrection, Jesus preached for 40 days. So how many days are left? Less than 10 days. Right? So they were tarrying. Now, what were they doing when they were tarrying? Acts chapter 1, Bible says that they gathered together about 120 of them, and they were praying. They were praying for what? For the what? Promise? Can we say for the mission? Can we say, let me ask a question. The promise of the Spirit, was it something that God was going to give them because of their prayer or because of what God has done? Okay, so if what God has done was already assured that they will have it, it means their prayer focus, whilst it will be revolved around the power of the Holy Ghost and the endowment to power, it will have a lot to do with the preaching of the repentance and remission of sins. Altogether. So the preaching of repentance and remission of sin is the mission. So we say a man on a mission, who is a man on a mission? A man on a mission is the one who what has the instruction to preach the gospel or to preach the repentance and remission of sins. You know, in life, have you ever met somebody who knows exactly what they were called to do? You've met people like that, right? Who know? You know that usually what you find out is that they will pursue that course with all passion. They will pursue that course no matter the cost. Altogether, right? You know, sometimes when we see some of the excuses that we give as believers, not in this church though, but you know, over the years, I've just been privileged to see all kinds of things. Right? Some excuses that people give, you realize that there are no excuses enough. Because there are places or there are things we do that are not convenient for us, yet we do them. Altogether. Imagine you were dating. Right? You know how many times you left your comfort zone to see the guy or the girl that you loved? Yeah? You know, sometimes you just say, I just wanted to see you. Yeah, you will travel, you will walk. I remember then when I was staying, when we're still in school then, right? Yeah, my sister will be in one corner. Sister Steph, I know she will be in one library. And I will just walk out of the room in the middle, you know, you walk up and write inside cold and you are vibrating. I want you to enter the building, say, you not thought maybe you wanted to give her something, wanted to say something. Yes, no, I just wanted to see you, I wanted to see you smile. Obviously, she will smile. And what she smile, what do? Cheers, take care. I stand in trees. But when it's time for church, can't you have that mindset of saying, I want to see God smile? I just wanted to see you smile. Eh? Such that no matter how tight it is, you find a way to ensure that you do God's will. What about having that mindset when you're going out on the streets and you're just going to walk? And just say, okay, well, I'm on the train. There's someone beside me. I want God to smile, right? And just preach the gospel to the person behind. See, I hope you know that not every conversation that you have when you're preaching the gospel will end up as an intellectual conversation. Not every. There are some, all you need to do is just to preach the message. And that is, if I've preached to people before, what they will tell you is, I've heard. You know, at that point, what are they looking for? Looking for how to what? What next? Altogether, I'm privileged to sit down among some Scottish pastors, and I had a meeting with them over the week on Thursday. You know, and as soon as that meeting finished, one of the pastors there, he walked up to me. Because when I came in, I introduced myself, you know, and I was talking about the church gospel as it were. I know he looked at me. I was like, oh, you're the pastor of is from Singapore. You're the pastor of, you know, I gave this a story similar to this on Wednesday, how I met somebody and they said two people from gospel had preached to them in Edinburgh. And, you know, I said it on Wednesday. On Thursday, another man just walked up to me. He's an associate pastor of a church somewhere around Edinburgh there. And he said, oh, you're the pastor of that church. Oh, two of your members on separate occasions, I've preached to him. I said, oh, so nice to meet you. Wow, can we have numbers to exchange? So it means that what we are doing, people are hearing. Because, you see, for him to remember the name God's Palace, it means that whoever were those people. Right? Sorry, do you mind going? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so if you were that person, it means that you're speaking sowed a seed. Is that correct? Yeah? You're speaking sowed a seed. There are so many people. I went to a meeting somewhere, right? I went to a meeting somewhere. I think that was last year, 2 years ago, right? In Edinburgh as well. So and I walked into the place. I just saw people had their eyes on me, fixed on me, you know? And I had two different people reach out to me on different occasions. I think we had in Christhead a few weeks before, 2023, right? So I said, and one of the ladies looked at me. She's in Edinburgh, right? She said, and myself and my children just finished watching in Christhead. I couldn't have thought. What am I saying? I'm trying to say, a lot of times, the seed you sow, just ensure you are in obedience to God. Don't let it be that people are praising you, that makes you now feel you are obeying God. No. You know, I always tell you, the blessedness of obedience is in the fact that you have obeyed. Just try to derive joy in the fact that you've obeyed. Don't let it be. Now, is it good for you to preach? And the goal, like I always tell you, the goal is for you to build, make disciples. It means that, for instance, there will be times when you invite people to your local church. Is it good for people to come to your local church after you preach to them? Yes. Should you invite them to the local church after you preach to them? Yes. But you see, the most important thing is, are you in obedience to God's will? Are we together? So if I preach to 50 people in a year, right, and 100 people came, right, because I preached to 50 people. I'm saying maybe each of them I preached to had their partners or their children. And 100 people came into the church because I preached to 50 people. What should give me joy as much is the fact that I was in obedience to preaching to the 50. Is it good to have the 100? Yes, it's good. So the blessedness of obedience is the fact that you've obeyed what God has asked you to do. Right? So you'll be shocked the number of impacts you are having because you are just obeying the gospel. I told you on Sunday, right? The reason why you are here today is because a man who was a relative to my father, his older cousin, preached to him. Yeah? Till tomorrow, till today, till next tomorrow, my name is still Yusuf, right? It means that I'm coming from a Muslim background. My father was from a chief imam's home. You want this to come from a chief imam's home? Your father is a chief imam, and he became a pastor, right? Right? Until my dad's passing, he was the only Christian in his lineage. How did he get born again? One of his cousins took the initiative to preach to him. He became a Christian, started what you call God's Palace today, and you are here today. I'm saying you don't know the impact on generations you are having by just yielding to preaching to that one person. Why don't you pay attention to yielding? You know, you can preach to one person and you've affected a generation. You see, that one preaching that was preached to my father has affected the lineage of Yusuf forever. Are we together? Right? Because I'm his son. He put me in the way of the Lord. Right? And I'm doing his work of ministry. You know, people are so ridiculous in our world. Say, this church is becoming a business thing. Yeah? What must it be your son that takes over? I don't understand. You build a business. This one is business. So you build a company. Yeah? A company. I'm talking about a multi-billion dollar company, oil and gas. Your son has matured enough and understands all the dynamics in the company. But because you don't want people to say that is a family thing, you now give it to somebody else. Who does that? I'm not saying your son is not qualified, is not up to, cannot understand basic arithmetic. So, Right? You know, God is a God of generations. God wants me. God, my children will pastor. What's this? They let them track the message so that they can listen when they grow up. Why won't you? Today, after many years, you have God of Isaac, Abraham, Jacob. Father preach, son preach, great-grandson preach. Not even that, you still have up to Solomon. You still have up to David, up unto Jesus. My generation, are we preach? Yes. Together. Right? Yeah. So that is why, you see, whilst your family, in the real sense, you know, are people that you have a human relationship with, do well to ensure that ministry is integrated in the family, in the home. I was somewhere a few weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago, and the guy wanted to set me up. I don't know, my friend, he wanted to just set me up. My wife was there as well. But I wish he knew my wife and what my wife knew about me. So he asked me, I was like, which one comes first, ministry or family? This was 2 weeks ago. He said, which one comes first, ministry or family? And I laughed. And I said, okay, which one do you think comes first? He says, family. Show me from the word. You know, after we finished talking for like 15, 20 minutes, and I said, and I never thought of it. I hope you know you cannot teach that your family comes first before ministry from this Bible. You can't teach it. You have to tear the Bible, read it upside down. In fact, it will still show you. So you know my answer is right now. Why don't you build a family that is involved in ministry with you? That's the simple answer I give. They need to ask me, is it ministry or family? So my wife was there. Maybe he was thinking because my wife was there, I say, I hope you know it's my wife. My wife knows that the day I say her before ministry, she's in trouble. That's not what you say. Oh, you don't understand? Simple. If you can go through Genesis to Revelation and show me an example of a man who put family before ministry. One. What did Jesus say? Luke 9. Yeah? He says, Master, I will follow you, but let me go and bury my father. What did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. I hope you know if a pastor quotes Jesus today, that pastor will trend. So insensitive, he cannot, no emotional, no EQ. Is it emotional? What do they call it? Go ahead, you should get the point. You shall, all of you understand. How can you talk that kind of no EQ? This Jesus does not know Christ. My pastor will say, this Jesus does not know Christ. Yeah? Yeah? The second one came and said, my family, they are traveling, they are going. Let me just quickly, before you even reach the venue of evangelism, I'll be there before you. But let me quickly go and say, bye-bye. What did Jesus say? No man putting his hand on the plow and looks back his feet. He said to the other one, he said, foxes have holes, birds have necks, but what? Son of man has nowhere to put his head. So it means that when you are a man on a mission, you know, there will be times where you see as a man, right? And God is sending you to a city. You will sell all your belongings there to relocate. Yeah? You know, when we say man on a mission, it's not just from comfort, though. Some of us like the theme, man on a mission. I'm a man on a mission. I'm a man on a mission. It's not from comfort always, though. So imagine the three answers that Jesus gave. That means Jesus cannot, you know it would be difficult for Jesus to pastor to people in this generation. Who says that? No, pastor should have said something different. How can you say let the dead bury the dead? You know, I tried to look at the Greek words used there. There's no play of words, though. There's no figure of speech. It's direct. How can Jesus say let the dead bury the dead? No. My family comes with... No, so I just told him, I said it simple. Yeah? So let that debate die in your mind. Are we together? Let the debate die in your mind. Is it family or ministry? Let it just die. Just do your best. Let your family be involved in your ministry. You know, there are certain things I do my wife knows, right? And she knows that there are some things that she cannot... It's not negotiable. Yeah? It's not negotiable. Yeah, let them be involved. Carry them along. Yeah, don't be fervent only in the church. And when you are home, they are begging you to wake up and pray. You are snoring. Yeah, imagine, man of the house, woman of the house. Yeah, you are doing prayer meeting, and as soon as they are just praying like this, you're and your children are asking, "Is everything okay? Are you okay?" Right? There's a way you can be fervent. So who is a man on a mission? A man on a mission is one who is purpose-driven, not pleasure-driven. Write that in your notes. A man on a mission is one who is purpose-driven and not pleasure-driven. A man on a mission is one who is purpose-driven and is not pleasure-driven. A man on a mission is one who has a vision, who has a focus. A man on a mission is one who is what? Purpose-driven and not what? So what is your purpose on the earth? Go ye therefore into the world and what? Preach the gospel. Are we together? Yeah, that's your fundamental course. Now, can you be a doctor as you are doing that? Yes. Yeah? Can you be a lawyer? Yes. Can you be a tent maker? Yes. But you see, your tent making or your business, those are professions that should bring money to your pocket. Every other thing should revolve around what has God called you to do. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you stand before the audience of one. So if men applaud you today, and that one does not applaud you, it's as good as you've not done well. I know in this generation, people know how to whine you. They will whine you like Lister Jen. Before you know, you just bust. People will whine you, and you will not now know where to draw the line. You see, build a life that revolves around your mission as a believer. What is your mission? That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. That's your purpose. That's your goal. So when you get a new job, is that beautiful? Oh, praise God. Yeah? Beautiful. When you get a job that is paying you times five of what you were earning before, oh, praise God forevermore. You see, but let your mindset and ideology be thinking about, how can I do ministry here? How can I serve here? How can I do my work such that it will not affect my walk with God? Yeah? Your purpose is that thing that should keep you awake at night sometimes. And you're just spending time praying. We'll look at that shortly today. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Quickly. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in where? In Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So what ministry do you have? Can we say ministry of reconciliation is equal to repentance and remission of sins being preached? Yes. Beautiful, you get it right? Yeah? So who is a believer that does not have a ministry? No believer. So if I ask you, you know, I always tell you, that some of my friends, if I ask, how is ministry? I say, that's good. Oh, one of them said the other day, oh, we bought a new tray for our pastor. Yeah? You know, when we come together in church in the morning, and we arrange all these instruments together, yeah? Is that good? Is it godly? Should it be done? Yeah? What is that? That is service in the local church. When you take a mic, for instance, and you come and sing, right? Yeah? When you teach, when you're singing, for instance, and you are teaching in what, you see, the songs you are teaching in itself, right, will revolve around ministry as it were, right? The message of reconciliation, preaching of reconciliation, and everything around it. But you see, the act of you singing is service in the church. So if I ask you, how is ministry? Your first thing you are thinking about is not that you were in church on Sunday. Fundamentally, no. It is, what have you done with the message of reconciliation that God has given you? Who did you preach to? What are you doing with it? So, we have a message, a word, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he had committed unto us the message, that's the word, their word, the message of what? Reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ that be reconciled to God. So there's a purpose to your life. Say, there's a purpose to my life. So a man on a mission is one who is focused on what God has called him to do. You are focused on what God has called you to do. You are focused on what God has called you to do. No distractions. No distractions. Say, no distractions. Yeah? In our world, it's so easy to be distracted by what others are doing. It's so easy. You know, some of us are not happy until we see some of our classmates doing worse than us. You know, it looks like a pitiable thing that people in church will just say, ah, no, that's not me. But you know, sometimes, subconsciously, that can be you. Maybe one guy that broke your heart in secondary school. Yeah? Maybe he told you that because you don't have money. Yeah? Or a lady broke your heart, I said, because you cannot take care of, maybe the mother of the girl said, you can't take care of my daughter. Relationship now end. You know, you will now, the day you now find out that that person is looking for sponsorship. You're laughing. Eh? The day you now, maybe the person, maybe you've got his sponsorship, you've got his job, you've got everything. You now realize that they are coming to UK too. They be coming. The thing is bread and butter here. They will come. You will now be looking for back door to look for. Yeah? If you now go to the Instagram page, you now say, we just got our keys, your heart will just sink. If you have not gotten your own keys. What I'm saying here, people don't voice it, but it's the reality. That is what leads to what a lot of people call depression. You know, depression, a lot of times, is you are comparing yourself with who you should not compare yourself with. I hope you know. Yes, now. You are comparing yourself with somebody who you don't compare yourself with. A lot of times, yeah, there's a heart of contentment, yeah, that a believer must have. Bible says, Hebrews, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as he has. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Be content in that fact and be striving for more. Be content and be striving for more. But not allow your happiness be hinged on what you have, what you don't have. See, in this life of mine, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not talking about stories. I've seen millionaires become thousandaires. I'm not telling they told me, oh, me, I can tell you the number and name, oh, and phone address. So I've seen millionaires become thousandaires, and I've seen thousandaires become millionaires. And I've seen thousandaire become millionaire become thousandaire. Green, white, green. Yeah? You became millionaire, then came back to thousandaire. It happens in this life. If you allow your joy to be dependent on what you have, what you don't have, depression is knocking at the door in front. Are we together? You can't afford to allow your joy to be dependent on that. That's why I always tell you. You see, as a believer, I try it as an intentional effort as a believer to ensure I don't rejoice more in material things than in spiritual things. Because I've come to understand that material things can go within the twinkle of an eye. It can. I'm learning gradually, and I've learned, and I'm still learning not to allow the things I do well with to affect my mission on the earth. So the days when my business does not go well, my work does not go well, my appraisal at work does not go well, it doesn't stop me from going out to the streets to preach the gospel of reconciliation. Because that is what matters to me. I remember the company I first joined. When I first joined, you know, so look at my small mind. I know it was big too, but it was still small. When I think about it in retrospect, you know how you are thinking of, you want to impress your managers very well. I impressed them bad. Even better gift I bought for them. You know the unfortunate thing? They've left the company. Should I say unfortunate? Fortunately, unfortunate. Anyhow, you want to look at it. You know, imagine you are trying to impress your boss, and the day you are just trying to put your name forth for promotion, they just send the letter. I just say, this is my last 4 weeks. I wish you the best in the future. You say, madam, but I wait here. I must do this promotion first. But you know, what just made me understand was this, that life is very transient. Very, very. There's no point to hinge yourself around. So imagine days that I can't. So imagine if I was canceling my evangelism in those periods to impress somebody that eventually will leave the company. Don't revolve your mission statement in this world around circumstances. I'll show you an example of Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah when you're done writing that. Nehemiah. Life is very transient. Life is very fickle, like some would say. Right? Life is very, it can be great today, tomorrow it's not the greatest. Right? That's why when we're serving Jesus, we don't serve it because we feel like. I can tell you for free, there are days you don't feel like coming to church. Let me see your hands. Lift your hands. You know, there's some days you don't feel like coming to church. Lift your hands. Don't lie. Me too. I'm missing my hands. There's days you don't feel like coming. Don't lift your hands. It's not a. Don't say, I'm not saying, twisting you. Shebi, you are here. That means you are serious. So I won't twist your hands on serious. I read together. There are days you don't feel like. But you see, purpose will push you to do what you need to do, whether you feel like or not. Somebody's asking a book like Nehemiah. Is there a book like Nehemiah? You say, is there a book like Nehemiah? Nehemiah is after Ezra. Hey, God's palace. I've spent a lot of time in Matthew's gospel. Right? Open to Nehemiah. Now that I'm talking, I'm giving you time to open it, to find it. Don't let me start in there. You're still creeping, no. Nehemiah is after Ezra. It's after Genesis, before Revelation. Right? So, there are days you don't feel like. That's the truth. There are days you don't feel like going for evangelism. There are days you don't feel like going out. There are days you don't feel like praying for the sick. But you see, purpose is that thing that will make you keep doing what you need to do, not because of what you feel like or what you don't feel like. Yeah? The question becomes, what keeps you awake at night? What gives you sleepless nights? Some of us, if we have an exam to write, we will not sleep throughout the night. But we will take off for vigil. Yeah? You know sometimes when you want to read through the night before you go for exam, you've learned that some of us have the practice of putting our leg inside cold water. Some people even sleep inside the cold water. Some people, the cold water makes the sleep sweeter. Right? Yeah? You do all manners of things. Sometimes you want to read, you carry your book like this. Yeah? You'll be pacing. Actually, some people can be pacing and be sleeping. Looks like Dalu that came to church this morning. Dalu came to church this morning, close that. You can be pacing around. I was just wondering, what was that play? Close the eye. Yeah, you know, you can be patient. But I'm trying to say, do you see the effort you put into your life so that you will not sleep? Why can't you put that effort as well into your purpose? Pastor, there's no time to preach. It's not true. If you know you are a man on a mission, you will create time. Where there's a will, there is a way. You will find a way. You know, I always say, anything you always keep giving excuse for, you didn't plan to do it. Yeah, I remember the other time, one brother came to church today. No, I asked one brother, why didn't he come to church? He said, as I was about to iron my clothes, they took light. Imagine. As I was about to iron my clothes, they took light. I said, oh, bless you. I don't know where to start from. Bless your heart, brother. See you next week. How can you say you wake up on Sunday morning? You know your life, your house doesn't usually have light. You don't have solar. Eh? You don't have inverter. On Saturday, you remember you don't have clothes to wear. You intentionally went to go and sleep in the bed. And the Spirit of God woke you up and said, go and iron. You know sometimes the Spirit of God tells you when to iron. In that part of the world. When you are here, the Spirit of God doesn't tell you when to iron. Because your iron will always come on. But when you are there, that's why people have to be expressing lean on Spirit. Yeah, because you have to be prompted to know. I found trouble now. You have to be prompted to know when there will be light. You know, you have to word of knowledge. There will be two Sundays on, one Sunday off. Two Sundays on, one day off. You have to ration it. Yeah, you know, be asked, was there light this week? How many days? When else did they take light? There will be light. Yeah, but imagine you now sleep off Sunday morning. You know, sometimes if you wake up on Sunday morning, you are praying for them to take the light. You are interceding. They've not taken it. I'm not thinking it, right? Eventually, they take the light. You say, there's no clothes to wear. You didn't want to come to church. Imagine you heard I didn't come to church because my clothes was not ironed. No, just imagine. Eh? Me that I'm preaching. All of you gather together, you arrange all the instruments. They finish, I haven't finished singing. Since I just finished singing, they drop the mic. They won't keep singing till 11. Where is Pastor? He's looking forward to iron his shirt. Imagine that's the mindset I have. You know, always tell some of us there's some things we will not do if we're the ones that are leading. Some of us like to lead. We like to be in front. Only when they ask you to be, my mom was saying something to me recently. Some people, why do we like them to mention your name before you give sacrificially? Some of us say, now if you say, let us give. Until I say, if you want to give 1,000, stand up. That's when everybody now is standing up. But I say, drop the envelope basket. Just drop what the spirit lays on your heart as it's going. As it starts here, it will end there empty. Because people want to be at the front. They want to be known. I know we don't have people like that here. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, I know we know that. I don't. Definitely. I mean, the last meeting we had already shows that. Yeah, we don't have people like that. Yeah. But I'm trying to say that you find that in experience. Don't let the things that people praise you for. You know, the most important accolades you need in this life is accolades from God. That's the most important one. What is God saying to me? That is why what you call the judgment seat and orders of one, all you will hear from God, it might not be more than, well done, my good and faithful servant. Do you know how you will blush? Huh? Imagine God said, you've done well. Yeah? Or imagine God asking you, what have you done? Yeah? Those questions will be asked though. No, my pastor taught me that resurrection morning, we all rise and just go into heaven. You know, someone would just feel like we just transition like that, I'll just go. No, there's something called the judgment, the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Right? And we all will stand before the audience of one. Right? You won't be with your wife, you won't be with your husband. You won't be with your husband will not be with you. Altogether. Yeah, you will stand in front and they will ask you. You know, there's nothing like Yusuf's family step forward. Amen. Nothing like Yusuf's. All the Yusuf's come. That's how lining up one by one. What did you all do? Say, let the head of the house speak. Let the head of the house speak for all of us. His umbrella. No. You will stand. I will stand. And God will ask, what have you done? Let me look at an example in Nehemiah before we close today. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1. Hope you are there now. I've used story to make you open it. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Akalia, that's the word. And it came to pass in the month of Kisra. So that word there just really speaks about the third month in the Jewish civil calendar, right? In the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of the brethren came, he and the certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Verse 3, 1, 2, 3, go. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left in captivity there in the province are in a great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now look at what happens in verse 4. So verse 4 now says, and it came to pass that when I heard this word, is that Nehemiah? That I sat down and what? Wept. So did what he hear bring concern to his heart? Did it bring concern to his heart? Do you think it became a burden to him? How do you know? Look at the next line there. And he mourned certain days, and what? He fasted and what? Prayed before the God of heaven. So what he heard created a burden in his heart, and what happened? It caused him to pray. And didn't just pray, he fasted. You know, we're starting our fasting tomorrow, right? Why do we fast and why do we pray? Because of the burdens that we have on our hearts for the people. So Jeremiah heard something. And that, you know, something you can hear that can create a body in you is that statistics shows that 60% of the people in Edinburgh, their religion is no religion. That's enough to keep you awake to pray. For a country where in the 15th century, a man called John Knox, right, he will say, give me Scotland or I die. And it was making impact in both political sphere, economical sphere, in day-to-day life, and it made an impact in the generation of one man. We are more than one here. Imagine our heart and our body gearing us to the place of prayer. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 that Jesus Christ prayed and he wept with all supplication with tears, with, Bible says, strong crying, Hebrews 5 7, with strong crying and tears. That means Jesus prayed and cried. What will make Jesus pray and cry? Burden on his heart. So you see, there are days in our prayer meetings, for instance, on your prayer meetings. Let me tell you for free. More often than not, because of the environment you live in, more of your prayer points will be under your breath. Is that not correct? Yes. Under your breath, in the car, under your breath, in the bus, under your breath, before they call ambulance for you. Right? You under your breath. But I'm telling you, there should be days and there will be times where you get yourself to feel the burden and the pain of the decadence in the nation. And you will give your emotions to you. No, Pastor, you know, when I pray, you know, some people, they pray, they just do their hand, they just put their hand in their pocket and they say, Athros Ephro. You know, some people, their tongues are full, eh? Athros Ephro. Oh God, close your eyes and pray. Madam, open your eyes and pray. Open your eyes and pray. Right? Yeah. There are days where you do F-F-A, eh? And there are days where you will shout and they will think you are a mad woman or a madman. Are we together? Yeah. You know, the prayer that changes nations are not necessarily prayers that are very quiet and gentle. You know why? When your emotion is involved in something, it will show. How many of you go to stadium and you are watching the final, Chelsea Liverpool? Chelsea Liverpool. Right? And imagine Liverpool just scores a goal in the second minute. And Sister Jesse says, she just breathes in. What a goal. What a goal. My husband, what a goal. In the net goal. Is that what she does? Even the excursion she went for. Eh? That the people that play for Liverpool, they were in their houses. Oh, you saw how she was shouting. Eh? Even on the pictures, you can tell that this lady started shouting from the gate. Oh, we saw it. Are we together? Right? Why? Because our emotions are involved in it. Imagine Chelsea now responds with 1-1. So even if it's not a demon reality, his emotions are still there. So imagine he's in the stadium, a final FA Cup. Or Champions League for that matter. I just say, yeah. How can? God save your souls. I say, go, what a go. No. You see some people, they won't tear their shirts. You know, I told you one day in the stadium, one guy peed inside his bottle. Nigeria's called go. He said, go from the top. Showered all of us with sanctified water. How will you know what before you think? Why did you touch? You think it's Mountain Dew? You can't even. like you now, let's say you have a baby inside, you want to not spend their papa's day wee. You know, like somebody gave you wee from top. Yet, those are the same people who can go out of their way to hold pee in the container and splash it. When they come to church, they just put their hand in their pocket. They say, and over on them, they say, we lift our hands to the great I am. Was and who is and is to come. You'll be checking time. Yet when your heart is involved, so the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 6, Jesus Christ prayed all night. You know what all night means in the Jewish culture? It is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. You know, in our generation right now, I remember one day, first time I went to vigil in the UK, 2013, my uncle prepared me for a week, said, we are going for vigil. So me, I know the vigil of when I was coming from with my father. Yeah, when you start vigil like this by 7, you are not done till 8 o'clock. That's it. Say, let's continue. So when they told me, my God of God for vigil, I slept that morning. I started sleeping for morning, so that nobody, no excuse to sleep in the night. We entered the car around 8 o'clock. I thought it's from 9 till like the morning. 9 o'clock we started. 10:30 they say, hey, we see you on Sunday. Hey, 1 hour 30 minutes vigil. No, don't call it. Don't associate with vigil in your life. Don't call it vigil. Right. I know the funny thing, they had their property. It's a different thing if they say the people of the owner of the property chase them. Their own property. And they lock the gate by 10:30. They say they've done vigil. You know, when we come together and we pray for long. You know, people say, you know, Bible does not teach praying for long. Right? Yeah. Probably just, you know, God is our Father. Is that correct? He's our Father. Right? And he's on our inside. God hears from the inside. When we shout as if, you know, somebody was talking to me a few weeks ago. Say, people pray as if they are mad. You know, I'd say, you are fortunate. Let me just say, you are fortunate. Because what can I say more than that? See, people that pray, you can't pray by because you are praying mad. And she just tells you, as people, when they just pray, just say, done! Oh, no, just say, done. Foul spirit out. You know what it is to say foul spirit out, and foul spirit hear you? You have a prayer life, oh. A man tells you, Pastor Chris Akinmu says that the darkest part of his body is his knee. That means he's always kneeling down to pray. That means he doesn't lie down to pray. He says he's always kneeling down to pray. You're not seeing him wear white suits, white tie. You walk inside and say, I can see him from afar. You too, you go and buy white suits. Oh, no. You're not going to buy white suits and buy white tie with white handkerchief and white shoe. If you dye your hair white. I can see from afar. You foul spirit. When they charge at you, you will run back home. For every quiet out you see in the public, it is from a place of a lotto. Listen to me carefully. I'm not saying that it is the prayer that gives you the power. There's something prayer does to you. It changes you. Prayer does not change the mind of God. You know, let me tell you for free. I've realized that the days in which I pray much more before I minister in specific special meetings, I function better. Try it. Our next believers meeting, try it. Give yourself 1 to 2 hours to pray. Maybe Friday into Saturday or Saturday into Sunday. And come for believers meeting. There will be a difference. You've tried it before, right? Yeah. The believers meeting where you pray. I'm trying to say that even if you didn't pray that morning, you can come and see visions. But I'm saying that there's something that changes about you. Just spend 1 hour, 2 hours praying before believers meeting. There's always a difference. So when you come to believers meeting, you can say, I say the name this, I say the name that. Don't say, oh, it's me. You know why? You've spent some time building much more confidence from the place of prayer. Prayer shows you rely on God. Bible says, Nehemiah heard something that broke his heart. Bible says, he wept. So, if Jesus wept, if Nehemiah wept, right? Jesus wept and prayed. That means his emotions were involved. So it means that when you think about your purpose in life, I'll start closing here. When you think about your purpose in life, what is that thing that you've allowed your emotions? Some of us have a blocker to our emotions. We know how to put a blocker. Once meeting starts getting supernatural, you know how to be aware. You know, I told of a friend, when I had to lay hands on him, he would just stand like this. Just put the shoulder and like, ah. Yeah? You know, when you are trying to logicalize it, when you're trying to put 1 and 2, and say, no. Some people, right? Yeah, they'll be laughing at falling down under the power. Right? And be wondering, what's making you laugh? Yeah, what's making you laugh? As a believer, you should have experiences where you fell under. You'll be standing, nothing changed about your life. Oga fall now. Madam fall now. Let something change. Paul was probably on a horse going to go and persecute people, and he had an encounter with God. What happened? He fell down 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. I'm not saying that before they come and look at you, some people know how to fall before they even lay hands on them because they want to just show. No, it's not about that. When you have an experience, something about you will change. Sometimes you want to fall, you are trying to check if there's bed behind you. You are trying to organize it. Someone should always show me. I don't know how this is our generation. Because they should not touch people anyhow. When somebody is falling in front of you, I realize that most people are now bending like this. When somebody is, you know, getting experience, I mean, definitely you need to get your mind fixed. If your eyes is closed, that is different. But somebody is falling and you are aware, you are even logical self. At least help people assist people who are having encounters. What am I saying to you? When you are a man on a mission, I'm going to look at this on our next meeting, right? Probably on Sunday, right? Nehemiah took out time to pray. We'll see what happened. One of the things we'll see again is that people mocked Nehemiah. I've heard about Sambalat, yeah? Yeah? Sambalat and Tobiah. Is that correct? Yeah, and there's another name there again, right? And they mocked him. But what happened? What kept his focus was the fact that he had spent time praying. What does prayer do for you? It builds you. You know, a man who doesn't go on evangelism frequently will not know why he needs to pray. If you go out frequently, your prayer, I don't need to teach you about prayer, you will pray. When you see the amount of darkness in the hearts of men, right? A man who doesn't go out of evangelism, yeah? A man who goes out on the streets will know, I cannot do this by my intellect. I need supernatural help. Yeah? What are you doing to yourself? What are you doing to your life in the coming days? You know, sometimes you will take out vigils and pray for long. You will stay away from the comfort of your bed and pray for long. Don't say you want to pray for vigil. You start by 1 o'clock on your bed. You just start saying, then you throw your blanket to the other side and say, and you woke up at 5 a.m. Yeah? Some of us, you know your partner. Yeah? Yeah? Let me say it. My wife, right? My wife can pray for long, but let her not be close to bed. Me, I can be on bed. Once I program my mind to pray, no matter my posture, I will stay awake. But not everybody is like that. So what do I now do? Because I want us to pray, I will leave my bed and we will stand together. I'll be pacing. Me too, I'll be pacing. Right? If eventually you sleep while I sleep, yeah, you wake me, I wake you. But the prayer needs to be done. If you've not prayed, you've not prayed. A man on mission is one who will prioritize his prayer life. You will prioritize your prayer life. What stirs your spirit? What keeps you awake? Let the mission of God so permeate your heart such that you know, you just know that you have to be a man of prayer. Like I've told you earlier on, right? There'll be days where you're praying for us, under your breath, right? And there are days where you are praying and you are shouting. And you are shouting. And your emotions are involved. Why? There are days you should be praying and you are crying. Not crying because they want to chase you out of rent, oh. Or not crying because they say they gave you 60 days notice. No, not crying because you know that your visa is going to expire. No. Now, some people cry a lot for a lot of reasons nowadays and just merge it with everything together. You are crying. You are thinking about how terrible. You're thinking about the darkness in the hearts of men. You're thinking about how if something happens to that your friend today, they're not going to be around on the resurrection morning. You're thinking about your family members and how into darkness they've been, you know, involved in. I'm thinking about strange things happening around the world. Someone sent me a video recently, a few days ago, about somebody, a daughter who had to rescue her father and all of those things. And in my head, I'm like, do you know what is happening in this world? You don't know. That's why you don't pray. Do you know what is happening in this world? What families are doing to families? And the solution is a saving plan of God. Because when the salvation plan changes your heart, it changes your conduct, it changes your attitude, it changes how you treat human beings. That is why we pray. That's why we pray. You know, sometimes I used to think that all the things we used to watch in some of the movies in Nigeria, for instance, from the part of the world where I come from, that is over-exaggerated. Now I actually feel like it's under-exaggerated. What the things that are everywhere now, I feel like the Nollywood used to under. Because you will hear some things. And you know, those are things that spoil you to pray. What are you praying about? Just pray. See, I'm not saying you should go and look for the stories that are trending and go and look for how to pray for them. That's not what I sent you. But the fact that I hope you know, it's only what you hear that is what you hear. That you heard it does not mean it's the worst case. That you heard it does not mean it's the most terrible thing that somebody has done to another human being. Right? But what should that make you see? That so this thing still exists in this generation. Right, what happens? Kefratish Branamosa, Ekrane Moshushava, Ketarabos Paranagasha, Ekekekanamanagasa Paragasha. You give your heart to it. You are like, the devil will have the devil will, let me tell you, the devil does not like those people who pray. He's happier when you trust in your intellect. You know, the Greek word is sterezio. There is time for sterezio and rozio. But there is time for krapashikata manekasa. Are we here? That should be your slant towards the mission God has called you on. Let me tell you, when you preach that someone believes the gospel, it's not your intellect, it's the power of God. Don't boast in your strength. Yet, this is what we sang earlier today, right? The Spirit living in me, moving me forward, right? I won't trust in my strength. I will boast in the strength of Jesus. Yeah? I will boast. You lay hands on the sick and they respond. And they get healed is the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah? You speak to somebody and they say, wow, I feel like I want to love Jesus like you. It's not you. It's the Spirit behind. So I'm saying to you in the coming days, you know, our fasting starts tomorrow, like I said. Take our time, right? And pray during the day, during your fasting. Yeah? When you are fasting, the goal is you are staying away from something you ideally would eat or enjoy. Just to consecrate yourself. Some of us, when we are fasting and we remember we are hungry, we think it's time to eat. No. When your stomach says, what do? You start in tongues. Yeah? Don't quickly go and make bon vita. No. I'm messing with bread. After you first put the first, I'm fasting, no. You already put the first one. I'm fasting, no. God sees my eyes, it was mistakenly. Okay. I've already eaten. Let me just come back out today. I will repay it back. And the last, none of you repay it. You don't have to repay it. Yeah? When your stomach, you'll be like, what makes my stomach sound like this? I'm fasting. You close your eyes, you start praying. Or you're at work, you're walking, you start praying. Or you take your break from work, leave your desk. And what happens? Take a walk on the streets and put your headphones, right? Look for bushes around you. Look for where to pray. And show you are praying. Don't just stay without food from morning to evening. And the first time you say in Jesus' name is when they do Google Meet, 7 p.m. That's hunger strike. Yeah? Get your heart, get yourself to pray. Because you know you're a man on a mission, and God has given you that mission. You know that God backs you, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So to show that you believe that God backs you and rely on him, that's why you pray. Are we together? See, in the coming days, I'll fix my eyes on the mission. In the coming days, I'll stay faithful to his cause. Hallelujah.